Good morning, everyone. It was about 50 years ago when I lived in the city called Washington, D.C., and a chaver of mine and I were getting up and walking very, very quickly to shul in the morning. And the police car would pass by and saw us. And it was very, very strange to them. So they stopped us and they said, "What are you doing outside? Where are you going?" That was about 50 years ago in Washington. There was no Yeshiva Gedolah, there was no Beis Medrash, and it was taka very strange. But now Baruch Hashem, after 50 years, there's a Yeshiva Gedolah in Washington, a Beis Medrash, and we are zeichet to have with us today the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva of Greater Washington, Harav HaGaon, Rav Aaron Lapiansky, to address us this morning.
Bishus, the Menalim, the Rosh Torah Mesorah, I assume that the Tachlis is to speak something in a practical vein on the topic that was chosen. Because of a Maisa Shehoya, I guess, something was more me, I felt it's also important to give some sort of depth, some sort of development of a certain theme, because the theme of responsibility is something that not only is it lacking in implementation, but I think there are issues in understanding it, understanding the significance of it. So I'll try to spend some of the time speaking a little bit about the theme itself, the Indian itself, and then maybe some practical points. The story happened many, many years ago. The Yeshiva Gedolah has been around for 18 years in Washington, and you know, there were always different ways of accommodating the food issues and so on. And for many years, the Seder was that the Bachrim would make the challah, they prepare the Shabbos food. That was just practically, it was the only way it worked. Vayihi won Erev Shabbos, and the one that was supposed to prepare the challah didn't. He forgot. Yes, Doshim, he got lost in Shem Mikra Vechatargum, the Mikveh. Yes, Doshim, he got involved in a ball game. Bottom line was, there wasn't. Sunday or Shabbos, one of the Rebbeim addressed it, and he gave a very, very strong shmooze on the union of chesed, of doing for other people, and so on. The shmooze was very strong, definitely it's very important, but I had some sense that it wasn't addressing the issue head on. And I felt the problem was we hadn't heard enough about the concept of achrayis, arvis. We ourselves hadn't really developed it. And b'meila, we had a hard time putting a finger on it and passing it on. And I wanted to a little bit develop the inyan itself, get a sense of, as it's called in the Torah, arvus, as it's called in later on in Chazal, achrayis. I'd like to get a little bit of a handle on it, and then we'll have an understanding of where the makom of that midah is in Kaimas Adam. I want to start with a strange chazal. It's a chazal in Yalkut and Devarim. It says, Lo ya'acha l'soinoi. So it says, Eine nois eschar. Eze nois eschar l'soinoi. So he says, "Mi mashal achrav el mashal afonav." Ein noisa schar l'soinav mashal achrav mashal afonav. Moshe madov adoyme adam yesh afonav masu shel chamisha litra or shel yud poishet yad v'noytel. Ve'im hoya masu shel kuf litra ma oise toinal seifav lachayav. So Chazal say, Chazal give a mashal that a person was walking and carrying something. So if it's something relatively minor, relatively small, he carries it in his hand. If it's a heavy sack, he puts it on his back. So it says the same thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he's Mishalem from Panim, there we say that the Tashlumin is small, it's relatively not a lot. Masha Ein Kein, when he's Mishalem Machoyrov Kaviyachal, then it's something big. So the Loya'achal Eshal Nesoynav means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give from the Achor of Kaviyachal. It's damn interesting because it's very, very different than what we're used to, in the sense that the ponim of HaKadosh Baruch Kaviyachal is the tzad that's Ahara's ponim and gifts, and it's the tzad that's odif for Tashlumin, and the Achorav is something that's Kilu Balkarcha kind of. But besides that, as Chazal told us, Chazal are describing two hanhagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, two hanhagas of Nesina, one of them called Yad, and one of them called Katef. Those are the two hanhagas. And one understands that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has those two hanhagas, that hanhaga exists by us as well. And we have a mahalach of giving with Yadayim, and we have a mahalach of giving from Ktefayim. And we try to understand a little bit, these two inyanim, they seem doimet to us, both on a sina. There's a nesinas yad, and a nesina me'achayrav, Ktefayim. But the tremendous nafgimina between oyav and mesoynav, what he's giving. You find in the Gemara, there's in Hilchos Shabbos, there are two mekaymos in a person's kaima that is considered darkoi to carry. If you carry something in your hand, that's derech. If you carry something on ktefayim, it's derech. On the head and other places of the body, those are not derech, you know, unless something that's very miyuchet for that. But bederech klal, stam carrying, stam nesia, is either biyadayim or b'ktefayim. That's the norm. So you know, so you see that the koyach of taking something, the koyach of carrying something, kedarkoi, lies either in your dayim or ktefayim, and the anything else is not the derech. What is the difference? It's clear that in the koyim of a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give it happens to be two places to hang up your hat and jacket. These are two different mahalchim. You find a machlokes in Chagiga. When is a child old enough that you have to bring him up l'li l'regel? Beshamai says that if you carry him on ktefav, Basil holds you have to be able to give him a yad, and he's hoylechitoy. So ktefayim and yad are both oifanim of carrying something, and yet they're distinct. So the inyan is like this. In tztaka, you find there's lesikpa, it's yadcha, the yad is there for nesinas tztaka. Achrayas, the Gemara's lashon, is a filum glima dal katfoi. That if you're an achroi for something, from the Lev himself, even the garment on his ktefayim, he has a chiyuv to give. So, in the world of action, in the world of carrying and giving, in the sense of carrying, you have yad, which belongs to the realm of tzedakah, Yaktefayim, that belongs to the realm of Achrayas / Arvas. The difference is, whenever I carry something in my hand, I'm carrying something outside of me. I'm schlepping something. It's something be'etzim, it shouldn't be part of me, there's no reason why I should be carrying the bag. But I need to carry the bag, so I'm carrying the bag. There's sort of a it's an oifen of taking something outside of me and carrying it along. Ktefayim, shoulders, is something where I can be mitzarif someone to my koima. And when I put someone on my shoulders, it becomes a chelik of myself. A person who is carrying something that's heavy in his hand, he has a sense that he's carrying something heavy. And he says, oh, it's hard, I'm carrying something heavy. A person who, if his own guf is heavy, or if his guf is weak, he says, I have a hard time walking. The inyanim that a person is al-ktefav, those are inyanim that a person is supposed to sense as being himself, and then it's hard. But it's hard for him. Let's take an example. If a person gives tzedakah, that belongs to the world of Yad. My sense is, I have no chiyuv to do it, and therefore, I'm doing it. But I'm doing a pu'ula of hatava. If the other person, if I can't do it, I say, it's very hard, I can't do this now. I can't give tzedakah. When a person carries someone al ktefav, like a tinoik, if a person is carrying a ktefav, a person can say parnasa is difficult, but a person doesn't say I can't support the kids. He doesn't see it, doesn't inherit as something outside of himself. It has as part of himself. So just like a person who's heavy himself, and it's hard for him to walk because of it, he inherits that it's hard to walk. He doesn't disassociate that chelik from his guf. Mashenkin, if it's outside, we disassociate it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us two tzuras of nesia, so it's carrying both in the sense of carrying things that are that physically, it's carrying things in the sense of support, giving money and or taking the achrayus for somebody. It's the mahalchim and the deep mahalchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being misyachis to the bria and giving schar as something that he has to give. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mishalim schar, there's one oifen where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mikapeach schal korberia. So even if it's a kelev, I owe it to him. I have to do it. It's not what I want to do. It's not me, kaviyachol. It's something that has to be done. So that's the tashlum that goes to seinim. And then there's a mahalach where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this schar of it is the izdapkus kaviyachol to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's mitzar of the person. The mohus of the schar is the tziruf of the person, kaviyachol to the koyim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that becomes the schar. So that's the schar of panim versus schar me'achayrav. It says by the kohanim, it says that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is soivul oylamoy, like it says ani esav ani esbol, so too he says he was mitzavet to the kohanim sheyizbelu shenema bekosev yisol. In other words, the tzivui of avoda, there's a chiyuv of bekosev yisol. It means you're not allowed to take the orin on a carriage, on a wagon. That's one inyan. That's mefurish brought down halacha. I mean, that's the mitzvah essay. One understands. It doesn't say it quite mefurish, but the Rambam and the Gemara says the chiyuv is bekosev yisol, that you have to carry it on ktefayim. The mashmos is that to carry it biyadayim would also be aser, because it's not the way it's supposed to be carried. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is soivul de bria. Soivul means that the bria is mitstarif to the rotzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu carries the bria. he's ultimately, it's Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tzivui of Avodah to Kehanim was that they should be seivel the Aron, that they should, Bekotev Yiso says it specifically, the chiyuv on the Aron is Bekotev Yiso. It means that's called to be seivel. The word seivel shichmoy, the word seivel in Tanakh goes many times together with the word vayet shichmoy lispoil miseivel shichmoy. Those are all in yonim of this teifayim is meyuchet to be seivel. Seivel means that you understand that it's part and parcel of who you are and what you have to carry. That's the mitzvah seivel. Mitzvah lemeidin. That we have a mahalach of avoid in the Bria with Yad, where it's simply to schlep something along. It's something which, it's not part of me, but I've got to do it, or I want to do it, and something which is part and parcel of myself. My Rebbe, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, used to have a very powerful shmuz that repeated many times on the inyan of Achrayis. And it was a topic that he spoke occasionally, and you can look through in the Sikhs of Chaim, the two or three of them. I'll just want to repeat the toikif of what he said, the main nekuda. Two or three of the main nekudas. His first point, and this is, I guess, the global point of his shmuz, was that the measure of a person is the midah of achrayas that he has. A shaita is not a fool. A shaita is not somebody who's lacking in knowledge, IQ, understanding. A shaita is an irresponsible person. It's very clear halachically. And basically it means someone who can't carry himself either. He has to be carried by somebody because he doesn't have ketefayim to carry himself either. That's the definition of a shaita in halacha. A person gets married, says Toiv LeGever Kisa Oil Bin Urav. A person is Mischayev Niksuba Afila Glima Al Katfoi. That's a Chiyuv Achrayas, and that makes him into a person of a whole different darga. Finally, Malchus, and here Reb Chaim would elaborate on the Chazal about Yehuda. And I'm going to point out two of the Nekudas. He went through a Tosefta in Brachas about why Yehuda was Eichet Malchus. He showed how each one was a different facet, a different expression of Achrayas, of Arvus, and that's why he was Eichet Melech. I want to point to two of them. The first one is the obvious one. When Reuven came, Chazal point out the distinction between Yehuda and Reuven. If you take a look in the parsha, you have a hard time. Reuven had a plan, and Yehuda had a plan. They both had a plan on how to get him out. So why is Yehuda seen as the savior, and Reuven is sort of, it's seen as another kisholon in Reuven? So Reb Chaim used to say, Reuven did it furtively. He sort of said, you know, meanwhile, let's hold him here. I'll come back. I'll take it later. There was no Kabbalah Sachrayas. Yehuda, and Reb Chaim used to point out, he said, Mabetza kinargeno unechases domov. A person that's not willing to stand up and take responsibility is lacking in Mila. He's not a melech. Malchus means that the person is taking achrayas, and bin chases domov is so Yehuda's mida expressed itself in the way he went about it. He also said, Chaim said, this is something that is an insight and something that something unusual. It says that it was hoidav loy boish. So the Pashta Pshat is that he was Ish Emes. The Pashta Pshat is that he was had Chotev from Chatoyim, and even with all the embarrassment, he wanted a Kapara. Reb Chaim used to say, the midah of achrayus is to take responsibility. And if a person, Yehoidav Leiboyish by Yehuda, wasn't coming from the midah of emes or midah of bakashas akapara or tshuva, it was from all these things, but the nekuda that was boilit, the nyanenu, was this inyan of taking achrayus, of the person being anoichi arvena. Yehuda got up and he said, I am his arev. And Chazal say a person should not be an arev. Chazal don't say a person should not be an arev. Chazal say before you become an arev, you should know what you're getting into. Don't think that it's a little squiggle on a piece of paper. Arvis means you are responsible. Chazal, it's a pasuk. Chazal, it's something where they're telling you when Yehuda said Anecher Vena, he was risking every chelik of himself, his guf, his neshama, his asid, this world, the other world. That's what he was risking. But what he was doing was the act of achrayus and arvus. I like to shtaltzu to Reb Chaim's shmuz, an extraordinary chazal. It's the same chazal as a few places. This lashon particularly is in Rus Rabba. It says, Ilu hoye ruven yodea, shakadosh baruch hu machtiv olav, vayishma ruven vayetzilei miyodom. If Reuven would have heard, would have known, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would write in the Torah that Reuven is Matzileh B'yodov, the Lashon Chazal is B'ktefoy Hoye Melichoy Eitzel Aviv. B'ktefoy Hoye Melichoy Eitzel Aviv. He wouldn't have done it furtively. He would have understood that this is the claim of Reuven. If Reuven would have put the words of Chazal are mind-boggling. If Reuven would have understood the impact of this maisa, the chshivas this maisa, it would have been a maisa ktefayim, not lahatzel miyodom. It would have been something. It would have been star ktefayim. So, Reb Chaim would speak about this inyan of that measure of a person. A melech ultimately is the person that takes. He's not the person that does for the am. If you're doing it for the am, you're a great person, and you deserve great kavod, and everything is wonderful. But it's not malchus. Malchus means, since the melech is the lev ha'am, it means that the entire koima of Klal Yisrael has to be oimed on the melech. The only way that something can become part of you, that something can become part of your metzias, is when you shtel tzu in an oifen of ktefayim, an oifen of arevus, an oifen of achrayus. That's the inyan of achrayus and arevus. So the first thing is understanding to ourselves before we deal with teaching this topic, which is hard enough in its own right. We need to be able to get a sense of ourselves. What is the chshivas of this, of the inyan of called achrayus? Achrayus is the deher of how a person shtels tzu. What's my yachas to the things that I'm doing, even to the things that I'm obligated to do in some way? The difference between a bekosef yisoh or nosin titein atik pois yotcha is a difference of worlds in what the kesher is. You can have two people doing the same things, going through life with a similar path, and yet they are worlds apart in terms of who they were. Was it malchustik? Was it something where I was vayet shich melispoil and I said I have to undertake it? Or is it something that I chose to do and I choose to do and I feel good about it, v'chulu v'chulu? One of them, the maisim become mitzurif to the kaim of the person, and the person becomes a much bigger person than he was. The other one, the person comes with a big matmain of Maisim Tovim. not something we should push away, but it's the person be'etzem, it's rechush that he has, but it's not godless that he builds himself. A gadol halachic is defined through achrayus. It's extraordinary that, I mean, when we think about it in halacha, why is a gadol associated with the koyach of getting married, having children? I mean, you know, it's you could have done it by measuring a person's height. You can do it by other ways. Why of all the inyanim, this is the inyan that's chosen? And the answer is, gadlus is measured through achrayus. When a person is physically able to get married, that means he's now ready for that next stage of the glimal kasfoy. The person is able to enlarge his kaima. That's a moment of godless. It has to be that way. It's not shayach in the seder of a person's gidul. If he's not a bar achroy yet, then he's not ready yet to have a family. So the two together are the inyan that create godless. This is something which is at the core of what our sense of Yiddishkeit should be. The klal gadol is what we don't teach our kids, they don't know. Sometimes there are things that so much permeate the avir that, you know, you pick it up and everybody talks about it and you can sort of back up a bit. One in inyanim that is not like that is achrayis. It's a word. Let's explain what is it that we need to do with the kids. The reason why today it's a topic that needs to be introduced comes from something good, but it has a certain side issue. It used to be when a person got married, the glimal kasfoy was there, and the decision was he'd have to support his wife, his children, and so on. And that was either or. Either he was capable of taking on the achrayis, and he grew through achrayis, or he couldn't take on the achrayis. But those are the choices. We were zocha, our dor, the doris, that there's a certain wimavir, the oil, their inheritance from our children, so that they could sit and learn. And I was nana from it, my children, your children. And it's definitely, Chazal say that there's a shter. Shevet Levi was lacking Shevet Levi needed to get rid of the older herets so that they could be sitting Me'evet Hashem. That's 100% emes, and that's why Baruch Hashem was zeichet to a renaissance of Torah in a way that hasn't been for Doris. But everything comes with a certain price. So when naturally a person would sense achrayus, getting married and so on, he doesn't sense that anymore. It used to be that there were many chores that had to be taken care of in the house. Even in yeshiva, it was most of the time because of economic pressure, and you know that's how people learned achrayus that way. We don't have that anymore. Baruch Hashem. We do have a lot more time to be able to sit and learn because of it, and it's a bracha. But it's aliyah v'koitzba. We always need to understand that the fact that something is a bracha doesn't mean that it doesn't come with a certain problem that needs to be dealt with. There is arguably, for somebody who is learning, somebody who's a good bracha, there are not many opportunities where he needs to sense achrayus, where he needs to get a sense of, I have an obligation. And we need to find a way, especially for Talmidim that are dedicated in learning and so on, and in learning they're developing very well. But we also need to put into place the elements of achrayus. The first thing we need to do is talk about it. Let me go back to that story and why it bothered me so much. when I was mulling over that story and how it was dealt with, when there was a shmuz about chesed, I realized why the shmuz was on chesed. Because achrayas was never spoken about, really. And, I mean, Reb Chaim Shavitz did speak about it, but it wasn't commonly spoken about. And if a child doesn't have the musik of achrayas built into him, then he doesn't have a point of reference. You don't find a kid, you don't find a bacha that you tell him, could you do a chesed? And he'll say, what's a chesed? Why should I do a chesed? Who heard of chesed? He'll find other excuses. Baruch Hashem, shari tshuva l'ninalu. There are plenty of excuses for everything. That's not the problem. But chesed is chesed is chesed. He'll explain why it's not a chesed, why it's something more important to do. But that's not going to be an issue. When you tell somebody achrayas, he sort of looks at you, like, what are you talking about? It's not a concept that has been developed enough. So in the world of teaching our children, children pick up axioms. And one of those axioms, like Torah, like Chesed, like any of these things that we build into our children as something, as an axiom that they just relate to, because that's what it is, Achrayus is the shorish of everything. And we need to be able to build it. So the first thing is to talk about it. The second thing is, we need to give them exercise in Achrayus. And let's explain what I mean. Of course, if you need somebody to collect the Sfarim, you're going to have to get a kid to do it. If you need somebody to do something, we're not really teaching them Achrayus. Something's got to be done, so we have somebody. But if we make it part of our curriculum, that boys, children, adults, bachrim, have a certain achrayas. And it's the question shouldn't start with what do I need taken care of that would make life easier for me? What does this bachar need? This bachar is a phenomenal masman. He's sitting and learning. I don't want to take away much of his time. But he needs a certain sense of achrayas. What's the right job to give him? And maybe it could be done more effectively, more efficiently by somebody else. But I still need to be mechanachem. Just like if I think that he's not a nice person, I'll tell him about Seva Panim Yafis. He needs to have a achrayas on something. It needs to fit the person. And he needs to understand it to the achrayas. If somebody messes up, let's go back to that poor child that never was made. Obviously the reaction as an ul chinuch in yanim shouldn't be because I'm hungry. You know, if the guy messed up and you didn't, you know, and you can't, and therefore whatever it is, you explode because you're upset. And as Aleph Beis of Chinuch is, that gets you very, that doesn't get you. The only lesson a kid learns is Rebbe's got a temper. And, or at best, he's also human. But other than that, but if somebody did not live up to Zacharias, and Faket, at a later point, you can tell the person, you know, I had believed that you could handle the achrayas, and I'm disappointed. I think you can live up to that achrayas. It's very, very, building achrayas is extremely important. One other area that I think is very negligent in this world of achrayas, owning up to mistakes, like by Yehuda that it says that he was loybosh. If somebody is supposed to be in charge of a game, a trip, a sfarim, whatever it is, and then it wasn't done. So you usually, the natural reaction is to slip out of it, to blame somebody else and so on. The reason is because we're ashamed, and that's natural. There's one area to learn how to be moider and chatoyim, moider vayzev yerucham. But there's another nekuda. A Talmud should know it's a kavod to say, I am responsible and I failed. When I say I am responsible, I failed, the bush of I'm failing comes with the cover of I'm responsible. To be able to say those words means you are responsible. And people need to understand that achrayas is a backbone of cover. This is a person who takes responsibility. We should, and it's something we need to talk about with Talmidim. That when somebody takes responsibility and fails, failure is something that should teach him to do it differently, But the fact that he's the one, that the buck stops with him, is a covet for him. And it's helpful for a Talmud to understand that. I do obviously want to qualify what I said. It's like a pendulum. It's never, in chinuch, you can never go in one direction to an extreme. There are kids, plenty, who are busybodies, bored with learning, and are always looking for opportunities to do things. And they take on a lot of different tasks, simply because they like it, they're good at it, and they enjoy it, and so on. And so there's sort of a stigma associated with the oitzenik, or the guy who does everything, and so on. I had a roommate who was a Levi, and the other roommate was one of these people who was the other Bakal Yadkal boy. And they got into some sort of argument, and the Levi roommate said, you know, when the Beis HaMikdash will be built, I'll be a Levi, and I won't let you into the Beis HaMikdash. Then he paused and said, but you'll probably have the keys anyway from somewhere. That's Mistama you. Part of chinuch is understanding to which person is achrayus for other inyanim, a way of getting out of learning. Some, you know, and it's a lot of, there's a lot of machshava that goes into it, but there shouldn't be a metzias where even somebody who is the biggest masmid, the biggest tzaddik, and everything, that he should do something b'toras achrayis, not b'toras chesed, not b'toras learning, b'toras and achrayis. This is your chiyuv because of who you are. I want to tell of a story. As the yeshiva was growing, and Talmidim were getting married, they settled, and as they settled in the area, they came to the then Rosh Yeshiva and Rav Ravina Mezuchain Avracha. Ravina Mezuchain Avracha was both the one who established the town and the one who established the yeshiva. He was the Rav and Rosh Yeshiva. And they said they would like to form within the shul a separate minyan, more yeshiva stuff. And they explained to him that they don't like, you know, the style was more balabatish, old-fashioned. They wanted, that was their one. He told them something very interesting. He said, the people who founded the shul in the community took out mortgages on their house to found it. If you're willing to do it, there's what to talk about. If not, not. And he was a telzer, and he was a big Baal Achrayas. He came into Rabbanus at the age of 26 in a very not easy city, and bore it on his shoulders till the last day of his life. The understanding that training people, it's very nice that you want a minion that's this, that, the other thing. But the backbone of communal activity has to be Achrayas. And if it's just a question of selecting which part of Hal you want sung, that's not a mahalach that's building anything. And that, I think, was a very, very, it was a strong point. He said, until the day you will take out a mortgage in your house, there's nothing to talk about. It's something that the door before was exemplary. Everything that we have today, all the schools that were built, and all the yeshivas, all the shuls, were built by people who took tremendous achrayas. We, unfortunately, on the one hand, our best and brightest have been pushed into being learning, which is right, and that's why, that, you know, everything is for Torah. But we have a gap of people who are Bali Achrayas, people that took an Achrayas of a door on themselves. Coming to mind, of Neuberger's Zechein Avracha, of Scherer's Zechein Avracha, these are people that were, they were the shoulders of the door, and took upon themselves. Not they did, not they volunteered. The word volunteer and doing are wrong. They don't, volunteering doesn't build anything. Achrayas builds something. And we don't do enough to bring it into our Talmidim. I want to finish with with something I heard, maybe many of you also heard it together with me, and it's good chazen, if not, it's certainly an extraordinary moment. I was at the, I never learned in Philadelphia Yeshiva. I had some small keshe with Rabbi Yishmael Zechein Avracha, at the 50th dinner, at the 50th anniversary dinner some years ago, I was there, and it was the last time Revelia spoke publicly, could speak publicly, and I'd like to repeat the central message he said, just the central story that he spoke about. He said when he was a young bachur learning in Lakewood, Reb Aaron came over to him and presented him, showed him a check of $300 that somebody had sent in. And he asked Rebellion, who do you think sent it in? Palabatim? They despise me. It's not Palabatim. So Rebellion said he was young and brash. And he turned to Rebellion and said, "Why?" I don't know how he said, "Why you drain me a cup with this?" So Reb Aaron was very serious and he said, "I thought about you last night. And I decided that your koiches are to open yeshiva, to be Rosh Yeshiva, and that's why I wanted to share this with you." So Rebellia said, it was many years, he was young, and it was many years till he would actually open the yeshiva. He said, couldn't Reb Aaron have waited till I open the yeshiva, come in and say, big shekloli, shmooze, then sit down with me and give me advice on the fundraising and so on. He said, the Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Aaron, taught me that the yesod of a yeshiva is a achrayis. It's not the shmuzen, it's not the shiurim, it's nothing, it's the achrayis. And that's why he wanted to put in the first peg, should be a peg of achrayis. Achrayis for the people in the yeshiva, achrayis for talmidim. And he went on to a long list of I guess, everything he had been in achray for people, for almanis, for yisoyimim, for tzibrochna people, and so on. But the yisoyid of it was achrayis. It's something that, if we to ask ourselves, it's the yisoyid of a person. It's the yisoyid of being able to do things. Because we understand how much achrayis intrudes in our lives, and at what price it comes, for families, for learning, and so on, we shirk from achrayis. Today, and it's a good thing that a person wants to be shteiki, to sit and learn without any shteres, and b'meila, we tend to look for that type of things. When a job opens up someplace, whether it's a Rebbe someplace, or it's a Rav someplace, people make a cheshbon nefesh about how will it affect them. And they should. And there's always a shaila to ask. No drusha is ever a psak. And it can't be a psak, and it shouldn't be a psak. We're just illuminating different sides of an equation. People ask, where can I steig the most? Where can I grow the most? This is a second shaila. Is it my achrayis? Maybe if I'm the only person that can do the job, I have to do it. Maybe if this is what the job requires, I need to do that as well. I think we have yet to build enough of a sense of achrayis that if there's a problem there, then I need to do something about it. Comes to mind another, Rebellia once told me over, some chassidim was sitting, and he told me about my wife's grandfather, Blaise Yudel's wedding for a maisa. I guess it's the same Kav Machshava. He said, he learned Knight Yisrael in the 50s, early 50s, I think 50, 51 maybe, Rebellia learned. And he was Mekurev, so Blaise Yudel met him, and he said, you know, you're American, maybe you have some money you can lend me. So I asked him, what does Rosh Yeshiva need money for? He said, I'll tell you. I looked around, and it hurts me to see the matzav of the Sfardim in Eretz Yisrael. They're not doing well. I tried to incorporate them in the yeshiva. It's a literature, that halimud, it's Yiddish. It's not. So I decided the only way to do it is to make yeshiva, especially for them, with their nusach, with their rabbanim and so on. And I need money, so I'm looking around desperately for money. Maybe you have a place where you can get me some money. So Rebellia said, what was it his business? He was a mir Rosh Yeshiva. He had just lost his yeshiva. He needed to build up mir yeshiva. He said, how could it not be his business? There's nobody else that has the places to do it. Nobody else that wants to do it. It's a vacuum. I have to step in. That's called achrayis. So, let's sum up the nekudas. The inyan, the aside of the person's hisyachsus to avodas Hashem is focused in a midah called achrayis or arvis in the Torah. It's the midah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzta'ev to the Bria, and that's called ani esav, ani espoil. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyochol has these mishalim, the oyavov, from a b'chin of kteifayim, like we saw, and he does for the others with a b'chin of yad. A person has inyanim, tzedakidik inyanim, inyanim that he does b'toiras nedova, that are not mutlok seifov, and for that there's a yad. There's kteifayim, for the things that are meant to become mitzurif, to the tzuris adam, a wife, children, and those specific inyanim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was matlas. The midah, it's a midah that we need to teach in our children. We need to talk about the Musik of Achrayas. It needs to become a word that they're shayach to. We need to find a way for them to implement it. We need to find a way for them to understand that they need to face Achrayas. They need to be able to say, I failed, but I was a responsible person. Owning up to the very mitzvahs of Achrayas, that itself is the heart and soul of Achrayas. The godliness of a person is measured not in what he did, but how much he took upon himself, ranging from a cotton who's not an achroi for anything to a melech that's in everything. I want to finish with also halacha. Nesias kapayim. There's one of the inyanim of kedushas hayadayim is nesias kapayim. Nesias kapayim, the yadayim of a person is everything that a person does is with yadayim. Bizman ha-mikdosh, nesias kapayim was above the head. In other words, a person could be mevatel. The darga we could reach was when Ma'aseh Adam was seen simply as a Kaddish Baruch Hu, as a Shluch Rachmana, as doing for a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's Bizman Shabbayis Ekhayim. We don't have that anymore today. In the Goyla, Nesias Kapayim is a Tulik Teifayim. In other words, that a person, Kedushas Asiyah of a person, Kedushas Ma'aseh of a person, is when it's Mitztarif Tizkayimah, when the Yad becomes parallel Teifayim. That's what we can attain in Zman HaGolos, and we should be zeicha that if we are noisy kapayim on the Tulik Teifayim, we'll be zeicha that sees kapayim ad l'malavash.